Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Kerry.
How the devil are you today?
Very well.
Good.
Always.
Always. That's the right answer, isn't it? Yes, absolutely. It's been a while since we spoke on the phone. Again, we've just been lamenting the fact, dear listeners, of how life is zooming on. And, you know, we say, oh, yes, it must have been a couple of years ago. And actually, it was more than a couple of years ago. But we don't know when. We don't mind, do we, Alan? You're here and that's all that matters. So, let's first of all tell our lovely listeners a little bit about your good self, Alan. I've already teased them a little by telling them that you were working as a teacher for many years and so on. But please give us a brief resume for a couple of minutes about your life up until this morning.
Okay. Well, as you said, I was a school teacher for about 40 years.
40 years.
And the amazing thing was, I was a maths teacher. That was my main subject.
Okay.
So the last thing on my mind was writing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter and son-in-law went to live in Dubai, in the Middle East, very hot country. And every summer they would come home because it was too hot to live in the Middle East.
I'm sure.
And the children there have something like 2 months' holiday. I hear parents complain that 6 weeks is too long.
Right, yeah.
Well, they get 8 or 9 weeks in. So they used to drop in, if you'll pardon the expression, on myself and my wife and live with us for those 2 months. And the boys were very young at the time. And if they didn't destroy anything, they lost it, they misplaced it, they drowned it, they covered it in whatever treacle they were messing about with. So we tended to look forward to these holiday get-togethers with a bit of a worried frown.
A bit of trepidation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was there that these stories started, because I began doing a little anecdote about the things they did each day and writing them down.
Ah, so really it was the family that were the spur to sort of jotting these things down. I think that's a good idea, isn't it?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
I bought a new iPad at the same time.
Ah, technology.
And, yeah, technology, yeah. And I found that I could actually speak to the iPad, and it would print what I said virtually.
Clever stuff.
Usually. So I found it easy to write. I didn't have to type. And that was good. So I wrote these little anecdotes of the things the boys did every day. And then that night, I would, to get them to go to sleep, I would read them back. And I would change their names and give them fictitious names. So that's how the stories began. People began to say, you know, this is quite good. Why don't you get it published?
Ah, well, and of course, that's the tricky part, isn't it? And because obviously I have lots of authors do come in and from time to time, the reoccurring theme is, oh, my goodness me, getting that foot in the door to begin with is the hardest part. I mean, forget about the actual writing of the books. It's getting somebody to publish is the big thing.
Yeah, it is. I think I remember reading somewhere that J.K. Rowling went to over 70 publishers before. J.K. Rowling.
Well, and just think of all of those 70 who are all thinking, gosh, I wish I hadn't said no.
Yeah, absolutely. Ah. Yeah.
So how did things progress from there, and how long did it take you to find a publisher that would listen?
Now, that's a good question.
A good question.
Yes, I must have sent scripts, manuscripts, one or two chapters, sometimes a whole manuscript completely, to probably over 50
publishers. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And many of them wrote back saying, yeah, it's okay, it's got possibilities. If you send us £5,000, we can start doing something straight away. Well, you know, like most people, you know, you don't just have £5,000 knocking about.
No.
I thought, well, I'll keep looking. And it was almost as though it was in the stars, really. Sean contacted me, and I think we've mentioned that he was just recovering from cancer.
Yeah, yes.
And he must have gone back into an office full of manuscripts. But by one miracle or another, he found mine.
Wow, yeah.
And thought that he'd got possibilities. And I say that, you know, with admiration. He thought it had got possibilities.
Right.
He didn't
right.
go, wow, this is amazing. It's got possibilities. And, you know, I was a very naive writer in those days. Didn't even think of myself as an author. I just put a few ideas down on paper and hoped somebody liked it.
Yes, yes.
Sean said, yeah, this has got real good possibilities. And in those days, I was calling it Arthur and Margaret stories, about an elderly couple who were plagued by two young boys who lived next door.
Right.
So Sean very quickly dissuaded me of that idea. You know, you're not going to get a book to young children called Arthur and Margaret.
No,
really.
Fair point. It's a fair
it
point.
Doesn't kind of ring with them. But what about those children next door? And I thought, well, that's got a ring to it, but let's make it a bit more vernacular. What about those kids next door? Because, you know, if you've got a nuisance family,
that's what you
you're
would
going
say.
To say, those kids next door again, which would give it a kick straight
yes,
away.
Absolutely.
So we kind of agreed on that. In the early days.
So that's where it all started.
Yeah.
And give us then a little bit of the background about those kids next door. Who are they and what are they all about?
Right. They are my two grandsons initially.
Right.
One called Barney, who was then 8.
Right.
And his brother Franklin, who was then 4. Mm-hmm. And they were living in Dubai, plaguing us every summer. As I've mentioned. So they were the ones who inadvertently would knock cups of tea over, glasses of squash. If it could be made into a problem, they managed to do it.
Right.
And it tended to be accidentally, so you couldn't really tell them off. And I thought that, you know, this is a good idea, this is to have children who attract trouble.
Yeah.
So I now call them the trouble magnets in the stories, because whatever they do, whatever they try to do to help someone, it goes wrong.
Right.
And they end up getting told off, or, you know, parents go around to see their parents and tell them off, that kind of thing.
Right.
I didn't want them to be bad children.
No, understood.
Yeah.
So, in other words, it was something that would strike a chord with most kids of that age, and also, of course, with the parents and the grandparents too.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, that was the idea. I didn't want to write anything about fantasy or ghosts or travelling through time or space. I wanted just ordinary children. And that's what they are. They're just ordinary children who argue and fight.
Yeah.
Well, they did then. It's a few years ago now. But
sure.
They did then. Yeah, the usual things. They get upset. They bleed when they cut, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought this may well strike a note with other children.
Yes, yes. So how long ago was it that the first book actually came out approximately?
Right, 2016.
2016, wow.
Published.
So a few years ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was called?
It was called Those Kids Next Door. I felt that I needed a title that would run through the whole series.
Got you, yes.
And I thought there'd probably be about 4 books.
Right.
And each one would have its own title. So the very first one was called The Battle Begins.
The Battle Begins. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what sort of age range were you pitching the books at?
Right. The age range that where I was last teaching, which was primary school children.
Okay.
So top infants to top junior.
Right.
6 to 11-year-olds.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
A nice age range too, because obviously kids are really, really learning and taking things in like sponges, aren't they, at that sort of age. But also then at that top age range there, 10, 11, they're also starting to fancy their chances as little adults as well, aren't they?
They are, yeah, absolutely,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it gave me a chance. I came to the conclusion that two children in the family was probably not going to give me very much to write about.
Mm-hmm.
So I invented three more.
Right.
A baby of 17 months.
Okay.
Which would give us the factor.
Yeah.
And then twins.
Right.
And I thought, right, well, there's too many boys in this story. I need to be able to get to the girls.
Get the girls into it
as well.
Yeah.
So the twins are 10-year-olds, and it's a boy and a girl.
Right, okay.
Okay. So I decided that the boy would be born first, 7 minutes before the girl, and he would give her all kinds of misery. I'm the oldest. I'm 7 minutes older than you. I'll tell you what we're going to do.
We've talked a little bit about the first two, or the first one book, I should say, which was what do we say it was called?
The Battle Begins.
The Battle Begins.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. And that was, we said, 2016?
It was, yeah.
Okay. And the response to that was good?
It was good, yeah. I think being an ex-school teacher, I'm very comfortable going into schools, so
yes, yeah.
I do tend to go into schools quite a lot.
Alrighty.
And I read some of the chapters to the children, but I also encourage them to write stories themselves for me, so that, you know, we can read them and have a bit of fun ourselves.
Yes.
Little workshops, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, going to schools to see how the children can get an idea of the way I build up a character,
right,
or
right.
a scene,
yes,
and the kind of words that I use basically to do it, which in 2016 I didn't really know what I was doing. So I've got to be honest.
Well, I mean, you were dipping your toe in the water, weren't you? But I mean, the good thing is, of course, going to schools and talking to the children, reading to them, very quickly you're going to get some very, very good feedback. Some of it maybe not necessarily what you expected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to accept the fact that for kids, it's either good or it's bad.
There's
not a lot in the middle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, clearly, the fact that you're now on book three means that book two followed on, I presume, fairly quickly afterwards?
It did, yes. That came... I'd already got the ideas in my head. It was just a question of sitting down and putting the meat on the skeleton.
Right. Really, and so book two was called...
Over the Top.
Over the Top. Yeah. So what was the storyline behind that one?
Right, well, I suppose really my books are just a series of chapters
mm-hmm.
of different isolated incidents in the everyday life of the children
and
their family.
Yeah, yeah.
So each one is almost a standalone. That's the idea mm-hmm. behind them. It just developed probably quite by accident, with me not knowing how to develop a plot in the early days.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Yeah, that.
So, as we said, kids of all ages, but particularly that sort of target range, 6 to 11, are going to understand some of the things that the kids have got up to. How have you sort of refined it now, then, coming on to book three? I mean, have you introduced any new characters again now into it, or is it still very much the same gang?
It's basically the same gang, five children. I think, as we mentioned earlier, I felt that just writing about two children would be limiting.
Absolutely.
So we had the baby and then the two twins.
Yes.
And the eldest of the twins, the boy, Orlando,
mm-hmm.
He really blends very well with Sylvester.
Right.
Who was my grandson, if you like. And they worked together to try to... Well, they're very good friends. They're good brothers.
Yeah.
They're good friends. They never stop arguing. They never stop fighting.
Right, right.
Which is typical of families, isn't it,
sure,
really?
Sure, sure.
But they do work well together. And I can manage to get them into many scrapes together. And the other children kind of have developed slowly over the series of books.
Right, right. And presumably, looking to the future, and maybe books 4, 5, 6, whatever it may be, some of those other children then will come to the fore a little more.
Yeah. In the you mentioned the short story I've just written now, which is it's available now, but it's not to be published till October. The short story basically has the two protagonists, mm-hmm. Orlando and Sylvester, going round to the elderly couple's house to see what fun they can have.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that two villains have arrived at their house and they've got them tied up with gaffer tape over their mouths.
Right.
So the two brothers are going to save the day.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
But of course, everything goes wrong, as it always does with those two, and they get captured as well.
Well,
which
there we
leaves
are.
The little 4-year-old.
Somebody has got to do something about it.
The little 4-year-old has to come to the rescue.
Well,
will he save?
Will he save the day? Well, 4-year-old, blimey! Now, the other point I noticed from the notes that I've got here as well, that of course there's a little bit of a Welsh connection now too.
There is, yeah. Originally, my family's from Tredegar, North Tredegar, Skurva.
Yeah.
And that's where my dad came from and where I spent a lot of early childhood.
Yes.
Before we all moved to Birmingham, which is where the Birmingham accent comes from.
That's where it comes from, no question about that.
Oh, yeah. I was very young when we went there. Sorry, I've lost the thread of my argument.
Yeah, no, well, we were saying about why there is now this Welsh connection with the stories.
Yeah.
And so was it in book 2 or is it now in book 3 that the Welsh
element... No, it came about in book 1.
Oh, in book 1, right. Okay.
I had the children creating so many problems with people in the community that they complained to the council.
Okay.
The council think we can't have any more of this. Let's move them. So they move them to another house.
Yeah.
Okay. Within a very short space of time, the complaints come pouring in again.
Again, right.
Okay. So they move them again. And eventually they find they can't move them anywhere else. They've had enough. So they have a committee meeting. One of the committee members said, I think we should move this family to Mars. They'll cause no problems there. And, of course, the council leader says, no, you're being stupid. How can you do such a thing? You silly boy. So they decide not to. But where can we send them where they'll have no neighbours to upset? What about Wales?
Wales.
They've only got sheep and cows there to upset. Now, that's the idea.
That's the
idea.
Of
course,
it's
completely wrong, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But that sets the tone.
I see.
That's how Birmingham people think of, the open countryside.
Well, they would. No, absolutely, they would. They would. Well, you're covering all the bases. Now, Alan, if people want to find out more about the books, quite obviously they can go to the Candy Jar website. But also you have some social media platforms yourself.
Yes, I do, yeah. I try to keep it nice and simple and have as the main theme of the series of books called Those Kids Next Door.
Right.
Normal spelling. So it's all about Those Kids Next Door. So the website is thosekidsnextdoor.com.
Okay.
And whenever I sign a book for anyone, I always ask them to read it and let me know what they think.
Yeah.
So you can always contact me at alan@thosekidsnextdoor.com.
Excellent work.
That's my email address.
Right, right.
Sometimes people write to me at author@thosekidsnextdoor.com, but, Alan's just as good.
But that's the key to it, though. It's Those Kids Next Door. If people look that up on the internet, they will find you.
They will, they will indeed find the website.
Brilliant.
And the Facebook as well is on there.
Okay.
They'll probably also get a listing on Amazon, because the books are available
Amazon. Yeah, yeah. And of course, they are going to be distributed, or are being distributed at the moment, the first two, by the Welsh Books Council.
They are, yes.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent work. So now this afternoon, you're working for a living and you will be at the pop-up stall on the Hayes in Cardiff, there to greet people and to sign copies of the book.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a really great experience for me to actually be with the publishers.
Yes, yes.
And chat to them in a way that I can't normally speak to them.
Sure.
But yeah, we are right outside Peacock's pop-up stand is there. All the books available from Candy Jar Books are there also.
Brilliant.
But if anyone wants any of my books, The Battle Begins, or Over the Top, or the new one, which is a short story called Vile Visitors. Still those kids next door, but Vile Visitors. I'm happy to sign at no extra cost.
Brilliant.
We're giving a book as well. Sometimes a free book from the Candy Jar store.
Yeah,
and a bag of sweets as well.
Well, can't ask for more, really. And you're going to be there tomorrow also, I believe.
Going to be there tomorrow as well, day till about 5:30.
Brilliant,
tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Vile Visitors is the new one. And can you sort of reveal any thoughts on where book four might go?
Now, yeah, book four, interestingly, I go into schools, as I mentioned, and I issued last year what I call an author's challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. In my next book, which will be the fourth one, there will be a chapter at a fast food outlet.
Right.
Okay. And obviously, you can imagine carnage will take place.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be pop and chips and food and
everywhere
on the ceiling. So I issued this author's challenge to say to the children, if you can write a couple of paragraphs or even that chapter for me, I will in fact have that chapter added into the book.
Yes, yes, clever.
And it was great. The response was amazing. And one chap from a school in Sutton Coalfield, Warmley Junior School, won that. So in the next book, he will have his chapter alongside my chapter.
What a thrill that will be for
fast food. Yeah,
excellent, excellent. Well, quite clearly, you've got no shortage of ideas, and as you say, going into schools and talking to kids, getting the feedback from them. I mean, they're throwing ideas at you probably left, right, and centre too, aren't they?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And of course, working with them for as a teacher for years, it gave me so much material that I didn't know I had. To start with.
Right, right. Clever stuff, you see. Youngsters teaching the old uns.
Absolutely.
The way forward. Well, Alan, it's been lovely having you here in the studio this morning for our chat. I'm going to let you go now so you can go off and get yourself ready for your hard work this afternoon. But thank you so much, as I say, for coming in. Here's to the next time when we can have a chat, whether it be over the phone or whether you're down in Cardiff again. And I'll give all the details out again before the end of the programme, obviously, about those kids next door, and remind people that they can come and see you this afternoon and tomorrow too.
That would be great. They'd be very welcome.
Brilliant.
And they'll get a warm welcome from all of us.
Super stuff. Super. Thank you so much, Alan, for coming in.